My topic today, always, the things that I've been thinking about, and I pray with this guy at work, and he's a Christian. He's from Africa, and 3 or 4 weeks ago, we prayed about his. He's got some tingling in his eyes, so we started praying about his eyes. Said, God, you've already been healed. Jesus Christ already paid the price. We need to enforce that. We need to claim it. So he was blessed, we talked, and then he came in last week and he said, my daughter is getting this tingling in his eyes and in her eyes. And then he said, he wants her to be healed. And he said, I'm hoping she's not getting what I have. And I said, stop. Stop right there. I said, she's 4 years old, number one. Is she praying in your church? She says, yes. Have her pray. These little kids are just, their hearts are so pure. I said, let her pray for that she receives her total healing of her eyes. I said, and you too. And we can't ever say that just because this parent or this person from family member has something that it passes through the generations. Well, the curse is cut off. Okay? It's done. We don't allow that. We don't accept it. We don't voice it with our words. We just don't accept that. And so, in situations that are going on with work, there's always things that are going on with life. And so, the subject is, God delivers His people. And so, I started looking at some things. And so, I just wanted to just share some thoughts that I had, with y'all today. Turn to John 10:10. Thinking, well, how does this apply? Great verse from Powerful About Living, right? I remember this one. This was like sitting on the end of my chair on this one. It's like, gosh, I never heard anything like this before. And you got to think, why do God's people need deliverance? Why, things are coming up. Some things are self-induced. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm lazy and I don't get to work on time and I get fired. Well, that's my fault. If a person does that or I do that. But there are things in the world that the system of the world is set up to bring these obstacles and these challenges to us. And in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And it's talking about the adversary, talking about the devil. And what he does, his kingdom. And then here it says, I, which is Jesus Christ speaking, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So you have two different systems. You've got the system that still kills and destroys and ruins. And then you got Jesus Christ is talking about a kingdom that brings life and brings it more abundantly. So you got these two systems. And we live in this, we were grown up in a system that's corrupt. This world is corrupt. We know that. We know this is not our final home, but it just kind of gives you an idea that, things are coming up. It's not because you're doing something wrong or such crazy things, but there's challenges that are coming no matter what you do. It's going to be like it's talking with Anne. It's ups and downs. There's things coming. So let's go. I'm going to look at a few examples. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So God just doesn't leave his people, to flounder. Came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians have oppressed them. Go down to verse 19. So what happens was, God's talking with Moses here. He says, hey, my people are in jam. I want to get them out. I want to deliver them. So he sends Moses. He goes to Egypt, and he tells them, say, hey, there's, you know, there's going to be some obstacles, but I'm going to get them delivered, and I'm going to need your help doing this. So let's go down to verse 19. And God tells Moses, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. He will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when we go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of thy neighbor, of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Not only they were getting free, not only they were getting out of this slavery, one day they're a slave, the next day they're rich. All right. You know, exceedingly abundantly above, you know, in Ephesians, we think about that. And I was reading this, look at that. I said, they didn't expect that. They didn't ask for that. It's just God just said, he's just so loving and kind. And he always, this provision, he's always giving provision to his people. Let's look at another example. Go back to Genesis chapter 41. This is one of my all-time favorite records. There's a record of Joseph. I know many of you probably heard the whole teaching about it, you know, the whole timeline. It truly is amazing. But we're just going to look at Genesis chapter 41, verse 28. And this is, Joseph has been in prison. Pharaoh gets the dream. Nobody can interpret it. And then the guy says, hey, there's this guy in prison that can interpret dreams, which is Joseph. So he comes out, he interprets this dream. So in verse 28, and then Joseph says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do that showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there cometh 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land of reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because this thing is established by God, and God will bring it to pass shortly. Going down to the next verse. And go to verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that come, and lay upon corn, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for a store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land shall perish not through the famine. And this was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such as one as this is, a man whom the Spirit of God is? And they didn't know. They had no idea. I mean, all the servants for Pharaoh, you know, these guys are... that not they didn't have a Spirit of God, so these guys are politicians, snakes, you know, crooks, the whole thing. And so ultimately what God's, you know, what Pharaoh says, he appoints Joseph as the head. So he has ruling hand over the whole country and delivers the nation, delivers Joseph's family, which comes later in the book, and then other nations. They survived because of the Spirit of God was on Joseph, because God believes in deliverance. I mean, he takes care of his people, and people benefit. Even people that weren't his people benefited because of Joseph, because he had the answer. No one else had the answer. And that's kind of the way our lives are. Sometimes you get in a situation, you know, how do I answer this, you know? Well, God's there to answer. He hasn't forgotten us. This is not a new thing that he just did in, you know, the Genesis. I mean, this is ongoing all the time for us, that God has always got a plan. I mean, you were praying, Jenna, that God's always got, he's always got a plan there and an outcome that's good. And that's the way God operates for us. Let's go to another one. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 34. Well, this is a familiar record, I'm sure. David the sheep keeper, I tell you. What a guy. What a heart. And verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Yeah, that's pretty big. And the context here is, you know, it's a standoff between, you know, the Philistines and Israel. And so the Goliath is coming out and tormenting them with words, and you know, you're cowards, fight me, and whoever wins is going to serve the other. So David sees this, and he goes to the king, you know, Saul, and king, and he talks about, you know, hey, I've done this before. I've done this before. And verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, pretty amazing, and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So there again, David, this one young youth, saved a nation, saved a whole nation, which is pretty amazing. I mean, but he had delivered him out of the lion and the bear. I mean, lions are pretty big, right? Bears are pretty big. You know, one swipe and it's a problem for normal people. But see, he believed in God. God was going to deliver him. Let's go to Psalm 71. God's in the business of delivering his people all the time. Psalm 71. Verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. I love that. Situations where it's got to be a way to escape out of this. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. God's always listened to us. Verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation. And we heard that this morning with the prayers. I mean, everyone here is, they're looking to the Father. Whereunto I may continue to resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. See, this is just part of God's being, just deliverance. Go to 91, Psalm 91. 91, verse 14. And the word says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Sounds like God's pretty committed on deliverance. No? It sounds like it. Let's go into the Gospels. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 29. This is Jesus Christ. And verse 29, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And a great multitudes came upon him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and what?
Heal them.
I mean, sometimes that just takes my breath away when I think about it, because there's people here that are, they're lame, they're maimed, they got missing body parts. You come into this meeting, and you got a missing body part, and you leave with a body part. Restored. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. Talk about deliverance. And these are just people that heard about Jesus and they just wanted to hear what he had to say. And they go to a meeting and it's just pretty amazing. And then all these people were just like, verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole. And the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. There wasn't any rehab here. There wasn't any, you know, here's some, you know, kind of a drug you gotta take for 7-8 days, you know, some, none of that. It's just instantaneous. It was instantaneous and complete, very complete. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Getting right into our administration. This is kind of interesting that Ephesians gives us a lot of perspective on where we were and where we came from and what we are today. And that's what we're going to look at here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, basically, he had quickened his stricken. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's part of that systems of the world that's still things are going on. So it's still happening, okay? But we've been delivered from that. That's what God says. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, and among whom also, we also had our conversations in time past. You know, we were part of that. Past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. That's some deliverance. That's some big deliverance. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, you got a place in heaven now. You're on the earth, you're dead. Now you're born again, you're quickened with Christ. And you have a spiritual place in heaven right now. Well, it's going to become reality at the return, which we're going to see. But a place in heaven that he provided for us. That's how loving God is. Yeah. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And boy, you sure can't earn this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And this, so we've been taken from this pitiful state into a wonderful state. He's given us word, us his word, and then we are his workmanship. And I was thinking about the good works and the things that we should do and walk in. You know, like some of the good works is, you know, perhaps you're a mother and you're teaching those young children the word of God. That's a good work according to God. Mm-hmm. That's a very good work. That's one of the reasons why God was so thrilled with Abraham, because he was going to teach his kids about, you know, God and about, you know, the commandments of God and to follow them. Another thing, you know, all the good works that, you know, you're at work and you're sharing the word with people. I mean, your lives individually and are very important. Like Alex, you're doing a lot of witnessing for the last month or a couple of years, and it really matters. It really matters. These are really important things, good works, not just because somebody is a teacher, they're doing the good works. No, it's a team. We're a team. We're the body. Everybody's doing something unique. You're a grandmother. You're holding the baby. You're loving the baby. You're saying kind. You're saying the, maybe you're talking the word of God to them, you know, and maybe they don't understand yet. But you know what? God's word doesn't come back void, right? It doesn't come back void. So there's, you can't ever think that only certain people are doing the good works. No, God has got a plan for every single person. Everybody's got something unique. Doesn't matter your age, whether you're 5 or you're 95. There's still good works to do.
Speaking in tongues.
Exactly. Speaking in tongues, which is phenomenal. The perfect prayer, right?
Yes. You can do that on your deathbed. The good works of Christ.
Thanks for the reminder.
It's true.
I think we might remember that. I go to Ephesians chapter 4. Thanks, Janet. Sid would come back with some kind of good comment on you. I'm a little slower than Sid, so you're off the hook today. Chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 22. And this is in light of how not to get in trouble, how not to give place to the adversary, how not to be delivered from certain situations, because sometimes we do spiritual things that have spiritual consequences. And in this kind of talks a little bit about it. In verse 22, we're going to go to 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, you can be born again, but you can still think like you used to think. Before you learn God's word, you know, you can revert back because you got those, you remember, you know. So God's saying, you don't need to do that. But he says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So it does matter that, you know, what we say in the body of Christ. It's really important that, you know, nobody's going to get condemned if we get out of line or say something stupid. But, you know, just get back in line, you know, lovingly and as quick as we can. Verse 26, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So right here, we're in the greatest revelation in the Bible to our administration, and it says, neither give place to the devil. So it can happen. You know, you can let your guard down. And verse 26, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, that to me, that's saying, you know, we as believers, sometimes we can get bitter, and really that hurts us. Mm-hmm. If we're bitter and we don't forgive, the best thing to do, you're getting a situation with a believer or something, just resolve it. Just say, hey, I'm sorry, I said something stupid. Hug and move on. And done. You don't have to think about it anymore. Verse 32, and be ye kind-hearted, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're right and somebody's wrong, but you don't necessarily have to say, condemn them and say, hey, you know, you're wrong. Because some, you know, people intuitively know I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, so you just got to be compassionate and tenderhearted. And it's kind of like with children, you know, you don't pound them everything they don't do right and like this. No, you love them and squeeze them, and then you say the things. You kind of pick your battle when you want to really teach them. Chapter 5, verse 1, got two more verses here. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. So the things that we just read, you keep reading, these are the things, how do we become followers of God as dear children? And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So we are valuable, and we want to keep that, just keep the body of Christ sweet and caring and loving. And let's go to 2 Timothy. We're on the tail end here. Second Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul speaking. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's pretty good. He shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And that's where we're going to end up at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So let's back up a little bit. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which fall are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Hope nobody's scared of heights. No fear. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that deliverance? Mm-hmm. Is that the final deliverance? Yeah. Is that a wonderful deliverance that we have to look forward to? That God takes us from nothing to being with the Lord for forever? God's in the business of delivering his people, and he sure proves it, and he loves us. So, amen.